Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are focusing on Amos, Perek Aleph. We've just started the first chapter of the book of Amos. So we're going to work through this. This is actually the first section of the book, which runs for the first two prokim, for the first two chapters, is really about the prophecy to the nations. So let's take a quick look at this. Let's take a look at the content first, and then some of the ideas in that content. The first two psukim is really an introduction to the overall sefer. We focus a little bit of on the ideas in this section, in the introduction to Amos, about how he describes he was by Nokdim Mitakoa. He comes from this city called Tekoa. He's from the shepherds, and he talks about how he is in the reign of Uzziah, the king of Yehuda. This is obviously a very fruitful, a very successful reign in the times of Yerovam ben Yoash in the north. And it's dated 2 years before the Rash, which seems to be some sort of natural disaster which occurred, which we'll focus on more a little bit later. The focal point next is he says, Hashem mitzion yishag umirushalayim yitain koloi. Hashem roars out like a lion from Zion, and from Yerushalayim his voice is heard, v'ovlu ne'ois haro'im v'yovesh rosh ha-karmel. There's going to be this sort of sense of mourning which is going to go across the fields, and the shepherds who are going to feel this in the Carmel. Then he turns to the nations one by one. We're going to see in this perek alone five of the nations that he's going to be addressing, and there's a certain pattern to how he addresses them. It's a very simple pattern. The pattern starts off, Ko amar Hashem, so says God, al shlosha pish'ei, on three sins are X, Y, Z nation, v'al arba'a lo ashivenu, and should not return their punishment to them on the fourth one. And so there's a sort of structure, and it goes as the following. It starts off with Damascus, that's Damascus in the north, Aza, which is Gaza in the south, in the southwest. Then it moves on to Tyre, Tzor, in the very far, far north in Lebanon, Edom, which obviously is in the southeast, and Ammon, which is in the southeast, but a little bit higher than Edom. Those are the five nations that he is focusing upon, and he describes them, and to give an example of what it sounds like, let's start look at Pasuk Gimel for a moment. Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, al shlosha pishei Damesek, on the three sins of Damesek, of Damascus, v'al ba'ar v'lo yashivenu, which is read according to the Mephoshim as a rhetorical, yeah, and I would not return them the sins of the fourth one, al dusham b'chatz charutzois, Habarzel es hagila, they tortured or using iron thorns or iron staves to torture the inhabitants of Gilad. Gilad is, of course, is the Transjordan nation of Israel. Those are the two and a half tribes of Gad and Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shev Benashe, who are on the east bank of the Jordan, who are ultimately the first to fall. And when they fell, they were tortured horribly by the people of Damascus and that empire, or rather that kingdom. And in response to that, Hashem says, "Vishilachti eish beveis Chazael." I'm going to send a fire against the house of Chazael, which is the house, in the ruling house in Damascus. V'achlo armonos ben Hadad, and it's going to consume the palaces of Ben Hadad. V'shavarti briach Damesek, and I'm going to break the beam or the cross beam, which is the one that locks the doors of Damascus. V'yikrati biyoshev mikvikas oven v'tomech shevet mi beis Eden. So Hashem talks about the destruction, and he goes on in each one of these to enumerate. There's three sins they've done, a fourth one I'm not going to return, and therefore I'm going to destroy this part, that part of that particular nation. A few points to reflect on in the general structure of this perek is, first of all, this is a summary of the perek up till now, so now just the points to focus on. What is this roar from Zion? So first thing we should notice is that it's actually almost identical to what is mentioned at the end of Sefer Yael. At the end of Sefer Yael, it talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to roar like a lion from Zion. Clearly, Amos is using the same terminology, almost identical terminology, in his Sefer, which is perhaps also why Yoel is put in between Hoshea and Amos. Technically speaking, Amos and Hoshea were colleagues. Yoel is not a colleague, but nonetheless, Amos borrows his language and talks in a similar way, which is why thematically he is placed right after Yoel. Now, what is this roar? So it might be, as Rashi points out, that he is speaking, he is the prophet to the north, to the kingdom of Israel, who has denied the religious center of Yerushalayim. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends his power and he sends his message to the north, he wants them to be aware aware that it emanates from Yerushalayim, Mitzion, from Zion, not from Beis El, where there was an Egel Azov, not from Dan, where there was another Egel Azov in the northern kingdom, but rather from Zion. So he's being very specific about where the message is emanating from. That's what Rashi says. Now, Rabbi Ben El says that no, perhaps it is not because of Mitzion from Zion, but because of Zion, because of the reason of Zion. Meaning, right now he's not actually addressing Israel in these first two chapters. He's addressing the nations around them, the immediate surrounding nations of Israel. And because of the things that you've done to Tzion, because from Zion of all the things that you've done, that's why you're going to suffer. That's why the Rabbi Ben El reads it. Next question. Why these nations in particular, seven nations, we see five of them now in this parak, why are they mentioned? Why are these specific nations mentioned? So Rabbi Ben El tenders two options. One is that if you look at the end of Sefer Yoel, Yoel focuses on the main nations of the apocalypse. He focuses on Yishmael and perhaps the greater Christian nation as represented under Babylon, actually, interestingly enough, as perhaps as the way that Rabbi Ben El reads it. So Amos, picking up from where Yoel left off, is now focusing on the more immediate nations rather than the bigger nations, as an example. And he has to deal with the fact that Tyre is mentioned both in Yoel and in Amos, and that's because Tyre was destroyed two times, one by the Babylonians and one by the Macedonians. Okay, that's one option. Another option, which is actually more intriguing, is that Rabbi Ben El says that, you know what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is describing how each of these surrounding nations of Israel are going to be punished for their terrible sins. Well, if they are going to be punished, then so too the nation of Israel deserves to be punished as well. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, if your neighbors are doing such terrible things and they get their true punishment, well, you are going to suffer the same way. That's what the Rabbi Ben El suggests in terms of applying this to the... That's why it's specifically the directly neighboring nations, because we're on the same playing mat in a certain sense. We're on the same playing field to be able to be judged like that. Next question. What's this notion of three and four? It's sort of like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's shlosha pish'ei so-and-so, v'al arba v'lo shiveno. What is going on over here? So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yuma, Pei Vov Amud Aleph, which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's to be taken literally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give forgiveness for sins which are committed the first three times. But afterwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, you're entrenched. You've hardwired this, and I'm no longer giving you any extra slack on this. So it seems to be that these are repeat offenders to the degree that it's no longer just accidental. It's no longer just a lack of control. This is a real issue. The Rabbi Ben El takes it one step further. He says, no, this is not referring to any four or three sins, because, you know, if you read the text itself, it doesn't sound like HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that there were three sins which we are not aware of. It sounds very specifically like there were three sins and they're all the same three sins. What three sins could there be? Well, when we look at Judaism, we think, what are the perhaps the three most capital sins that there could be? We call those the three cardinal sins, and they are murder, adultery, and polytheism, serving Avodah Zarah. And those are the three things that a Jew is supposed to put down their life for, even if they're being threatened with their life. They would have to commit themselves to sacrifice their life or not to perform these three mitzvos, these three averos. And in that sense, what he's really saying is that your societies are corrupt. Your societies are corrupt from these three basic elements of humanity, these three basic moral axioms. And in addition to that, look what you've done to Israel. Because of that, you now deserve to fall. Meaning, it's based on corrupt foundations and you treated Israel badly. Goodbye. And that's what seems to be going on over here. And that's what the 3-4 ratio is. It is interesting that the Rabbi Ben El does admit that if you look in the fourth nation, which runs from Pasuk Yud Aleph to Yud Beis, which is Edom, it seems that there's actually three sins and four sins actually enumerated. And he suggests that perhaps Edom is treated differently because it refers to first when Yaakov Avinu was chased by his brother Esav, or at the pain of death. Then later on, when Israel as a nation came back on the eastern border of Edom with Moshe Rabbeinu and Parshas Chukas, and the Edomites chased them away with force, with military force. And then when in the first Beis HaMikdash, they took advantage when the Babylonians ransacked Yerushalayim. And finally, as the Romans destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. So perhaps the way that Edom is described is different to the other nations mentioned here. And that is that their three sins are very specific encounters with Israel. And the fourth sin is perhaps the most unforgivable of the lot. This ends this parak. And tomorrow we will investigate the remaining nations as Amos turns around and his perspective of the nations surrounding Israel. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.